Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
How's Ramon?
He's got a fractured finger in his index finger in his right hand. He's going to be missing some time, and he will not be ready for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, so with that, we come on the air and try to cheer everybody up. Welcome to it. Gwynn and Chris, short edition of post-game show today as the Padres fall to the Milwaukee Brewers 3-1. We will be here until 7 o'clock tonight, a bonus hour. Actually, not a bonus hour, because Scraby will have the Chronicles. It's his show from 6 to 7. I will just tag along for the ride. But it's my show from 5 to 6, Scraby, so get the hell out of the way.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking over.
Come on over, run the board, it'll be all good.
I'm taking over.
I will just preview this for people who are feeling bad right now about that news.
Yeah.
I have some fun Dodger trashing to do later.
The Dodgers have their problems.
Yes. And it has nothing to do with wins and losses.
No, they certainly have their issues, and so does everybody. But unfortunately, the Padres have another one, and that is a big one. Ramon Laureano has been close to almost irreplaceable since coming over from the Baltimore Orioles at the trade deadline. And to think that you're going to have to go through the first round of the playoffs, probably against the Cubs, without Ramon Laureano hurts a lot. And here's where it hurts even more than you might think it hurts. The Cubs have two really good left-handed starting pitchers. One is Imanaga and one is Matthew Boyd. Laureano would be batting in the middle of the order against these guys. And I know that on paper, you can say, well, we're going to just put Sheets in left field, and that's a pretty good fill-in. It is. But Sheets against a lefty or Laureano against a lefty. To me, there's a drop-off there. But you know what? Mike Schilt went on to say that you didn't hear winners find solutions. And basically, this is what's been happening for the Padres all year. They've had to overcome a very much less than perfect season.
The injuries.
The injuries have been there all year. From Bogarts to Merrill
Jackson,
to Cronenworth.
Yeah.
To, you know, the Jason Adam thing is getting more painful by the day. Every time I watch Jeremiah Estrada give up a home run, I'm wishing that we still had Jason Adam because that is a concern I'm having now. You know, Morejon, even though he gave up a run today, you feel pretty good about him in the fifth, sixth, you know, getting those outs.
Yep.
You certainly feel great with Mason Miller in the eighth, and you feel pretty good with Suarez in the ninth. The seventh is kind of wide open right now. Estrada's not engendering a lot of confidence there. And if you had Jason Adam, you wouldn't have to worry about it. But look, I'm not going to overreact to the loss today. I mean, if Bogaerts' fly ball, you know, goes out of the ballpark in the first inning, it's a completely different game. We'll get into that and all the rest of it in the notes on a scorecard, which comes up in about 20 minutes. And we'll take you through every step of today's ball game. What I saw, what was good, what was bad, what, you know, we can discuss. But ultimately, you know, this game disappointed me because after last night's Dodger debacle again by their bullpen in the ninth inning, and after the Cubs blew, what was it, a 6-7-1 lead to the Mets?
Last I saw was 5-1, and then
I think it got
won.
Even more than that. So after those two games, I started to dream a little bit, Scrabe. I started to dream. We were, you know, it was like, hey, we could easily now get the playoffs here. The Cubs could come here, or we could pass the Dodgers even and still win the division. But either way, the playoffs would be here next week. But the loss today, I doesn't mathematically eliminate you, but it puts you in a real, like, everything needs to go perfect from here on out.
Yeah, it has to fall their way.
It does.
Perfectly.
The Dodgers have a magic number of 2 to eliminate you for the division. The Cubs have a magic number of 3 to clinch their home field over you in the playoffs. Cubs are playing the Mets right now. We'll keep an eye on it. I think New York just went down in the top of the first inning. Cubs are coming to bat. But had the Padres won today, and it doesn't really matter, but had they, the Cubs would have had to, you know, win some of these games desperately. Or, because remember, the Padres hold the tiebreak over the Cubs if they finish with the same record. The problem is now, the Padres have 2 more losses than the Cubs do.
Yeah.
So unless the Padres go, you know, 3-0 against Arizona this weekend, no sure thing, considering Arizona's fighting for a spot, the only way the Padres are going to make it now is if the Cubs lose 3 of 4. And so you're asking for a lot.
But it can happen.
It can. It can. And so until they, you know, mathematically, you know, give it to the Dodgers or give it to the Cubs, you know, you keep playing and you keep hoping that, you know, maybe it'll work out. You can get that home field. The Padres are clearly this year a better team at home, even though they lost today. They are only a couple of games behind the pace this year of the all-time record of home, which was the 1998 team, which went to the World Series.
Yeah, it's a good team to model
Pretty
after.
Pretty good team. Yeah, that one won 54 games at home. This one has already won 50. So, I'm sorry, 49. Today could have been 50.
Okay.
So, if they end up sweeping Arizona, they end up with 52 wins at home this year. That would be great if you're playing a home playoff game.
It would
but
be.
But I don't know that they're going to unless they really get a lot of help now. And that's why this one hurt a little.
Yeah, I mean, and we don't know what's going to happen next week and all that. But if they do indeed have to go to Chicago, and I will always look back at the missed opportunities that they had this year with the division.
Yeah.
They had so many different times with the Dodgers lost and the Padres lost as well.
It happened all the time.
All the time down the stretch.
Yeah.
They had a real shot for this division. Now, I'm not saying that this season is lost because they
it's certainly
lost
not
a
lost.
Division.
No, you have plenty to play for.
You can't look at that.
No, you can't. You have plenty to play for. You have plenty on your plate. The Cubs are a team you can beat. You've gone 8-8 at Wrigley Field since the COVID season. You lost 2 out of 3 this year, way back in April, though.
That was so long ago.
You know, you won the season series there last year. You can win at Wrigley Field. That's not going to decide it. You know, ultimately, you're going to have to, you know, get some hits with runners in scoring position. That has been the secret sauce, not just for the Padres, but pretty much every team in baseball, frankly. You get some hits at timely, you know, moments. You know, you hold your own in the home run department. And, you know, you get Pivetta and Darvish and King to pitch you, you know, great games. You're going to beat the Cubs. And if those things don't happen, they're going to beat you. So, you know, it'll all come down to next week. Right now, Padres will get tomorrow off. But Laureano out, joining Jason Adam on the sideline. You can't cry over spilt milk, but you can sit there and wonder what could have been.
Yes.
These are 2 really good players, much like you could have wondered in 2022
Yeah.
What might have been had Fernando Tatis Jr. been on the team?
It's very true.
they got to the championship series and were 1-1 with the Phillies.
Yeah.
And all three of those losses in Philadelphia were, you know, nip and tuck back and forth.
It's all Robert Suarez's fault. We know that.
Well, yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
If you really want to blame somebody.
I'm not going to blame him.
Well, if you do, blame Fernando. Because he was the one who was, on the suspension. But you don't have these guys now. So that's it. You can't even, worry about it. If you win the first series, then, maybe, and Mike Schilt left it open there to say maybe Laureano could come back from Milwaukee in the second round. But I can't even think about that now, nor can they.
You got to get through the first round.
You're going to have to find a way. Gavin Sheets going to have to come up with some big at-bats against left-handed pitchers, which he's done this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather have Laureano. I just would, but I'm not going to. Just like I'd rather have Jason Adam pitch the seventh inning, but I'm not going to. And, I may have to rely on Estrada. I don't know that I can rely on him right now. And that's something that the Padres have to figure out, going into the postseason next week. Otherwise, look, it was one loss after four straight wins. So it doesn't tarnish everything that's happened. It's been a fun week. It's been a great week. It's been a clinching week. But today could have really put you in just such a better spot.
Yeah.
To potentially get the series at home next week. And again, if you beat the Cubs and beat the Brewers and go to the NLCS, nobody's going to care.
No one's going to care.
So, that's what it's all going to come down to.
I would like to remind everyone that the last time the Padres had to go out on the road on the wild card, they played the Mets.
It was the Mets.
And the Mets were supposed to take care of business, no problem.
And then
Scherzer on the mound the first game, and then Trent Grisham, boom.
It was Grisham, yeah. Grisham homered, Profar homered.
I think even Josh Bell homered that day.
Yeah, after that game was over, everybody's like, wait, what happened there?
And then they won the series, and then
Who pitched the first game for the Padres?
Darvish.
Of course. I mean, again, Darvish is lights out in these spots. I'm not worried about him next week. I'm not worried about King next week. And I'm frankly not worried about Pivetta. I think you've got three real good shots, with your starters next week. And, that's what it's going to come down to. But we'll talk more about today's game. There's a lot of development things, a lot of plays, a lot of calls. The umpire, a whole bunch of stuff. Schilt gets kicked out. Churio robs the home run. I got all of that stuff in notes on a scorecard. So that will be coming up in about 15 minutes. In the meantime, Scraby's waving his arms.
I was just going to...
Yes? What?
I've been trying to decide whether I should write it down, but it's too long of a message. We're on a different schedule, so we got traffic, and we can come back after traffic finish the segment so that people can get home.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury.
It's a stop and go ride on the northbound side of the 15. You have two problems. The first one is an accident blocking the left lane at Bernardo Center Drive. Delays go all the way back to the 56, and then after that at 9th Avenue, there's another accident, and the right lane is blocked. Somebody broke down on the eastbound side of the 8 at Alvarado Canyon Road. The center lane is blocked, and it is stop and go from the 15. And we also have an accident, and this is on the 52 westbound on the exit ramp for Santo Road. I'm Sue Aller with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, with that, everybody should get home safely and relax and take your time. We got you covered till at least 7 o'clock tonight. Before I get to a couple of other things, don't forget tomorrow. I'm sorry. See, now you got me thinking it's Thursday.
I have no idea why, but I'm a day ahead this week.
Right, you're a day ahead this week. It is Friday, 2 days from now.
Yes.
And we're going to be broadcasting before the final,
City Connect Friday. Mint City Connect
are
Friday.
These City Connects are going to make their swan song on Friday night. But before the game Friday night against the Diamondbacks, we will be broadcasting. Scraby and I will be out there live. Coach Tony will be inside. But we'll be broadcasting live out at Baja Ricks right there next to the ballpark. I mean, you know where that Omni Hotel is. You know where the gas lamp sign is, actually, on
the
5th Avenue.
The Hard Rock Hotel, I've been told.
The Hard Rock Hotel is across the street from Rick's. So Baja Rick's, You're on your way into the game. You'll see us right there. Come on in, say hi, grab a bite, grab something to drink, and you know, maybe you might win a Manny Machado signed baseball or a Fernando ball or some tickets, or but just more than that, just come by, have some fun with us. We'll be there Friday broadcasting live. Braden will be doing his show before ours.
Correct.
If you happen to want to get there really early on Friday.
Hey, they're ready. So, they're ready.
They'll
Baja
be there.
Ricks so, is ready to go.
Ah, man, Baja Ricks has got it going on. I've known Rick for, you don't even know how long I've known Rick.
I've heard this story about 7,000
too many times.
All right. You used to play hockey together.
No, we didn't. That's the wrong story.
Hockey is the story, right?
There's a connection with hockey.
Okay.
Rick was a big sponsor of the Gulls when worked for the Gulls. So I've known him since he had a restaurant down in Bonita and years and years and years. So looking forward to seeing Rick and Baja Rick out there on Friday. Hope we'll see you out there as well. Now, the playoff scoreboard is important. We don't normally do a lot of scoreboard on this, but there's games that mean a whole lot right now. Let's start in the American League. Last night, Cleveland...
This is your update, Ben.
Okay. The American League, Cleveland beat Detroit last night to tie for first place.
Yeah.
Now Cleveland's leading Detroit again tonight, 2-1 in the top of the fourth. Again, we said this. If Cleveland wins the division, it'll be the biggest come-from-behind division or league victory in baseball history.
12.5 games?
15.5 games.
Oh, that's even worse.
15.5 games. It was 11, I think, on September 8th. That's only 16 days ago. The Guardians were 11 games behind, and now they have a chance to go into sole possession of first place.
That's crazy.
And don't look now, but if the Tigers lose and fall behind them, they may fall out of the playoffs entirely. Because right now, they're just a game ahead of the Astros for the final wild card spot. So Detroit is going potentially from best in the league, which they were all year, to out of the playoffs entirely. 2-1 Cleveland, top of four. Here's the other development in the American League. The Yankees are beating the White Sox 5-1. Aaron Judge has hit his 50th home run. He's the third player in Major League history and the first who wasn't continually on steroids to hit 50 home runs in four different seasons. The only other two guys who ever did it were the poster boys for steroids, I hate to tell you, Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. So what Judge has done is definitely historic. He gets number 50. But even better for the Yankees, Toronto is being shut out at home by Boston 4-0. Yankees win, Toronto loses. Those two teams will be tied for the AL East lead. When it's all over this weekend, it's very clear to me that the Yankees could be the number one seed in the American League.
That's insanity.
After pretty much burying them a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is up for
Aaron
grabs.
Aaron Boone's job was on the line again.
And now they're going to end up maybe being the number one seed.
Cashman's gone.
Toronto may drop back to a wild card. Boston is the wild card right now, but just a game ahead of Detroit. And Detroit's just one ahead of Houston. So that's going to come down to the wire. Seattle can clinch the West with a win over Colorado tonight, which basically means Seattle has clinched the West. All right. In the National League, you got the Mets and you got the Reds and the Diamondbacks. That's the big battle for the final playoff spot. The Mets are in Chicago. The Cubs have just scored here. 1-0 Cubs in the bottom. Nope.
Oh,
I take
call
it back.
Overturned.
They overruled the call. Wow.
I've never looked up at the board and seen
me
them
neither.
Run come off the board.
I looked
before.
Up and it was 1-0 Cubs, and then I looked back up and the ump said, nope. I'm not quite sure exactly what happened, Scrape.
I think they threw it home and they tagged him out at
home.
Here
we go.
And
yeah, here's a replay, throw home.
Yep.
Umpire said, safe!
And he was wrong.
Replay said, out!
Yes. Are we going to start doing automated
safe and outs? I guess we kind of are already.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, they're still scoreless then with that play in the bottom of the first. The other one, the poor Reds, they run into Paul Skeens tonight, of all nights. Like, they don't need that.
No.
And, of course, Skeens is shutting them out 2-0 in the bottom
of
the seventh.
Now.
Right, but he's got the lead.
He definitely does.
The Reds are going to have to come from behind. The other team in the running there is the Diamondbacks, just one game back. And, of course, they're home against the Dodgers a little bit later this evening. So that is your playoff baseball.
Playoffs?
Playoffs. Yeah, almost that. You know, losing today makes me almost – I'm so disappointed. Then I got to remind myself, you know, we're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I just started getting, it started, you know, I was getting greedy for a minute
you
there.
You can buy a flight to Chicago and go and see a game. You can get a media pass.
I don't know.
You might
do it. Give me one?
Yes.
Do you really think if I showed up in Chicago, they'd say, come on in, Chris. We got plenty of room. I can barely get a media a seat at my own ballpark for the playoffs.
Let alone,
how am I going to get one in Chicago?
Because if you asked Adam, he would submit for you.
Okay.
And there would be like, there's going to be a guy who...
Sounds like you're just trying to get rid of me next week is what it sounds like to me.
What? I would never.
You would never consider
that. You know
what
I realized about the series next week that's kind of strange for the National League is they have a day off after game one. So Monday is off day. Are you shaking your head like I'm wrong?
Wait. I thought the playoffs, every series was next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't think there's any days off.
Oh, gosh. Did I jump?
I think you jumped the gun. Unless they changed it.
I think they did. Let me see.
Unless they changed it, the schedule for the playoffs was everything, from what I was told, was Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
I'm looking.
So let's double check now that we're...
Got to go through all the
American All four series league. Are on Tuesday, all four series Wednesday. Yeah, all four series Thursday.
What was I reading?
So I don't know what you were reading.
What was I reading?
Yeah, there will be no days off next week.
Oh, I know what I was reading. The division series, there's a day off.
Well, when we get to that, we'll worry about it.
Yeah, now that I know it's the division series, it's not that big of a deal.
All right.
You know what? I've been sitting on that like all day.
You were so excited to break the news.
Ugh.
And you were wrong. All right, tough day, man. Brewers win 3-1. Ramon Laureano just swinging at a pitch. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think he even hit the ball, did he? Was it a foul ball or did he just swing?
I thought he just swung.
He finished He did finish the at bat and then he went into the, you know, dugout, did a little work on him, tested him out, took him out of the ball game, and we find out fractured finger. And that's just that stinks.
Yeah.
That stinks. All right, we have to make do, as Mike Schilt said. Winners find solutions.
You almost forgot.
I almost forgot what he said. When we come back, notes on a scorecard from today's game. We'll take you right through from the first pitch to the last out when Gwynn and Chris continues, along with my hero of the day for the Padres.
Because
they certainly had one, even though they lost. Hmm. Stick around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, a couple of quick updates before we get to the notes on a scorecard. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. At the top of the hour, Scraby will kind of take the lead. It'll be the Scraby Chronicles. And among the things we're going to discuss is the disaster that is the Dodgers. Not just their bullpen now. I mean, they got a lot of issues. And Dave Roberts is whining, and Andrew Friedman is complaining to anyone who will listen.
Yep.
And woe is the Dodgers. So, you know, we'll talk about that, even though, you know, their magic number is only two now to win the division.
I mean, that's a foregone conclusion in my mind. So,
well, it wasn't.
It wasn't last night.
It wasn't if the Padres win today, but they didn't win today. So now I think it, you know, kind of reverts back to looking like the Dodgers will end up holding the Padres off because they have the tiebreaker. A couple of quick notes around the scoreboard. They did take that Cubs run off the board. Cubs did not score. So middle of the second, Mets and Cubs scoreless. Reds are running out of time against Pittsburgh. 2-0 in the top of the eighth for the Pirates. The Phillies, by the way, who basically have the number two seed pretty much already locked up, they are taking batting practice against the Marlins right now. I mean, can you believe it? Every time I glance up at the screen, another home run. Sosa, who's taking the place of Trey Turner, he's hit two home runs. Otto Kemp, you know, we don't realize this guy went to Point Loma Nazarene.
I do remember
right down
this.
The road.
I called his game one time.
Otto Kemp
is
a contributing major leaguer for the Phillies. He hit a two-run homer. Alec Bohm hit a home run. And just take a wild guess who's hit two. One of which went to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I mean, Schwarber's unbelievable.
He really is.
He's got 56 now. Somehow Cal Raleigh has more than he does, but it seems like Schwarber hits two or three every game. The American League thing, Cleveland still 2-1 over Detroit in the fifth. All right. Let's get to, do you have traffic?
No.
No traffic.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet.
Yes.
So what do you want to do?
We're just
start the
go
notes
to
on a scorecard?
Yes.
Give
That's
me an
what
intro.
We're going to do.
What did Chris like? What does Chris want to clean up? Observations written on a grocery list. Notes on a scorecard starts now.
Actually, we're lying. It doesn't start now. You're going to have to hold on a minute for it. I just take everybody through the conversation.
No, we can do the scorecard, and then we can go to our break.
Well, this notes on a scorecard is going to take, you know, 15 minutes. I'm not going to do it in, like, 30 seconds.
You know what? We're canceling the break. Go, Chris. I've decided.
The last conversation Scraby and I had ended up with him saying, I screwed up. And I said, you know, I'm going to buy a shirt with that on it and just give it to you, then you can wear it around.
Well, usually, never mind. It doesn't matter.
All right. So we'll do the notes on the scorecard.
Yeah, we'll do that.
All right. First thing today, and here's the scorecard, my notes on my wife's grocery list here. A couple of things before the game that I jotted down. One, Padres caught a break before the game even started today. Quinn Priester didn't start for the Brewers.
Yeah, I realized that.
I don't know if you know how important that was. The Brewers had won 19 of his starts in a row.
Wow.
So they caught a break without him, but
they did.
It didn't, you know, work out. Also, I'm just happy for Luis Arraez. I'm not going to get into it with anybody again. But he came in with a 12-game hit streak, 374 over that time. Yeah, just happy he's done that. And the other thing...
Are you patting yourself on the back?
Yeah, I'm trying
now?
Not to break my arm. Oh, nor are you. But since Ryan O'Hearn was on the show Friday, 10 for 20 with a grand slam and 8 RBIs. So he turned it around after our visit.
He really did.
We get no credit for that.
We shouldn't.
We shouldn't, but... I will tell you that if we have a player on and then they go into a slump, we get blamed for it.
Oh, yes, we do.
So we should get to take credit on the other side.
When Blake Snell got food poisoning after he was on our show, we took all the blame because we told him to go to a taco shop, and he didn't end up going to that taco shop. It was not our fault.
Another home run for the Phillies. Edmundo Sosa, whoever he that is, backup middle infielder, has hit his third home run of that game.
Wait, I thought you were going to say...
What are the Marlins doing? Underhanding the ball in there? I
thought you were going to say third of the year. You said the game.
No, it's his fourth of the year. He had one before today. He's got three in this game. The Phillies
have hit
8 home runs in their game against the Marlins tonight. I mean, come on. All right. There we get into the game. First play of the game, Bogarts makes an unbelievable play. Backhand, deep in the hole, gets his body twisted around, makes a great throw, as good as you could.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Arise, it's a do or die on the scoop. Ball was tailing away from him. He couldn't scoop it. But what a play by Bogarts there. And it's one of the shames of baseball. I wrote this down. Because the ball got past Arise and skipped into the dugout, Yelich got to go to second.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? For making a great highlight reel play that very few shortstops even could have gotten to, Bogarts gets an error.
Yeah, that's
and that's
not
just
cool.
One of those weird things about baseball. And I know that's not always the case with Manny, but I think Manny gets some errors like that too. He makes a play that no one else can make, and then in a rush to throw, you know, gets thrown away, and he gets the error. That was bad luck for Bogarts. But Cease, you know, did what a good pitcher should do there. He appreciated the effort and got the next three guys out, did not let that run score.
Good.
Well done.
And can we say this about Xander? He looks good in his two games back.
All right. Bottom of the first
inning. He looks good.
Two on, two out. Bogarts homers to center.
Yeah, except for...
Except for the fact Churio's glove gets in the way and catches it. Here's what I like about Petco Park, and I believe that Major League Baseball... I don't know how they can definitely do this, but I would love to see a rule where all ballparks have an 8-foot-high fence.
Hmm.
You can, you know, you can lay out your park however you want, but the fence itself should always be 8 feet. Why? Because you get home run robberies like that. How many of the Padres taken away? Fernando.
Fernando's taken away at least 4.
What an exciting play that is when you take away a home run. I'm watching the game in Philadelphia tonight. Of course, nobody can take away Schwarber's home runs, but they have a 25-foot-high fence. Nobody can go up and steal a home run there.
No, but what are you going to do with the monster?
Well, yeah, right. Again, it's within reason. You can't do it in Boston. It's too, you know, been there
because
too long.
Some of these parks...
And Wrigley Field, same thing. Yeah. The ivy's 15, 20 feet tall.
They build the wall high enough so it's harder to clear the wall if it's a,
it
if
is,
it's a shorter porch.
I would love all 8-foot walls because I love when, even though it got stolen against the Padres, that's an exciting play in baseball.
It is. Totally
stealing
is.
A home run. And we get to see that at Petco Park thanks to the layout of the ballpark.
I mean, we also had Jack Caglione earlier this year make a great
catch. There's
been
a lot of them, both for and against us. But that ended up being the big moment of the game, really. Because you go 3-0, it's a totally different afternoon. And on we go. Sometimes I can't read my own writing, especially when I don't have my glasses.
Okay. We need to tell people about the glasses thing.
I broke my glasses here about 2 weeks ago,
and
I have two other pair at home, but I haven't transferred them to my bag.
And every day,
and every day I come in and I go, I forgot my glasses. Yeah, every day. So I can't see. Cease got out of the second inning, stranding the runners. Milwaukee was 0-for-4 at that point. And that when I thought about the runs in scoring position hitting. The Padres have been hot lately because 353 over their last 10 games. It is incredible to me. I know everybody looks at all the analytics you want to look at. I can't stop you from thinking BAPIP is important. But there is no more important statistic in all of baseball than hitting with runners in scoring position.
I mean, it's directly tied to wins.
And it's the most out-of-control stat there is. Because I don't really believe certain guys are necessarily better. It's just, you know, do you come through or not? And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Tony Gwynn has the greatest runners in scoring position average of all time. Maybe it's because he had such a high batting average.
I think
in general.
I mean, can we tie those things together? I mean,
I don't know.
Can we tie clutch wrist?
Because Tony never
bats?
Drove in 100. You know, he only drove in 100 runs maybe once in his career, maybe twice. I'm not looking at it right now, but anyway, I don't think there's anything more important. If you hit 400 runners in scoring position and the Cubs hit 200, you're winning that series.
Yes, you will win.
Simple.
Most likely, you will.
It's so important, and yet it's so difficult to control. All right, third inning, man on, Yelich hits a ground ball back to the mound. Cease turns, throws it right into the ground. And Bogaerts makes another great play by digging it out and almost turning a double play. This is why pitchers make more throwing errors than anybody else. And you wonder to yourself as a fan, it's always a short throw for the pitcher. They're right in the middle of the field.
It's the hardest throw.
First base right there. Second base is right there. But you see pitchers throw the ball. You know why people don't think about it? It's because they're throwing off the mound. And when they step, they don't step even. They step down.
Oh, yeah.
And that brings the arm down. And that's why they spike the ball into the ground. Pitchers have to be careful when they're throwing to bases. And I don't think they work on it enough. And I think it needs to be worked on so that it becomes kind of more elementary.
Yeah.
But you throw off the ground all the time with an even step. Now, all of a sudden, you step downward trying to get it to second base. What happens? You spike the throw. And then the next guy bunts and Cease overcorrects and throws it too high.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of an issue. But
a bit?
Well,
it was.
I only say it wasn't because they got out of the inning. Bogaerts made another unbelievable play. Backhanded the ball, threw it behind his back to Jake. They got the out for a moment until it was overturned. And then bases loaded. Again, Bogaerts. Short hopped a ground ball, started a double play. Bogaerts was the hero of the day by a mile today. Incredible in just a second game back to see him play that well. That's
it's
all
good
I can
they
say
got him
about
back.
That.
That's
all
especially
I can say
with
about,
what happened today.
You know, to all the people who, you know, have been all about Bogaerts,
I don't think anybody,
blah, blah, blah.
I don't think anybody trash talks Xander anymore.
No, it's kind of funny how that's all ended.
Well, you play well.
Yeah,
there you
that's
go.
Right. Here's another moment of the day that you'll, I think, enjoy.
Okay.
Merrill comes up in the bottom of the maybe third or fourth, hits about the deepest, highest foul ball I've ever seen. The guy in like the 18th deck down the corner had the ball kind of come right to him. He's minding his own business. He's thinking, no one's ever going to hit a ball
it's
up here.
True.
He grabs the ball. He looks at it. He rubs it up, puts it down, and gets back on his phone. It was like, sorry to interrupt you, pal.
Like, seriously.
This is the world we live in. And he didn't look like he was getting on his phone to, like, text somebody. It was just like, I'm going back to my reading.
Yeah,
here.
I'm
going
to go to Facebook. Or
yeah, I
got
to go
to
back
Twitter.
To my reading. This ball interrupted me.
I would challenge
I love
people,
that moment of the game today.
I would challenge people when you're at a baseball game, watch the baseball game.
That, but he never expected a ball to come up there.
I get it, but that is a strange reaction to see the ball and just be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm moving on.
Before I move on, there's one note that I didn't write, but I want to get to real quick. In the bottom of the top of the first inning, I think it was the top of the first, maybe the third, Andrew Vaughn came up in a key spot for the Brewers. Mark Grant goes to Orsillo. I can't help it. I got to do a little major league right now. And he chimes into his Bob Uecker voice from Major League the movie and says, here comes Vaughn. He's a juvenile delinquent in the offseason. Took it right from the movie. Perfect line, perfect delivery. And I had to text him. I was rolling on the couch. I love when Mark Grant does stuff like that. It's what sets him apart. His timing, he doesn't do it all the time. He picks the right spot. And he was so funny and right on. And even Orsillo was like, yeah, that was a pretty good line.
That line was
in the movie because Charlie Sheen was the pitcher and his name was Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
And Mucher goes, here's Vaughn. He was a juvenile delinquent. And here's Andrew Vaughn. And Grant throws that in there. Mudcat. Outstanding.
Did you hear him do his Midwest accent when they were in Chicago? He did he read a promo with his Chicago accent.
I'm just a Mark Grant fan. Always have been. So that was good.
When we were in the celebration, I look over at Mud and he's in flip-flops and shorts
and he just goes and a poncho.
Scram. He just puts his hand. He just goes back to his celebrating. It was great.
All right. Back to the notes on a scorecard. I think the game was still scoreless at this point. Bottom of the fourth inning, I'm like, the Brewers are like handing us the game. They bring in Eric Fetty.
Ugh.
Let me tell you something, Scraby.
Fetty
has been cut by two teams this year. The Cardinals cut him. The Braves picked him up, and they cut him.
Yeah.
Neither of those teams are going to the playoffs, yet he's pitching for the best team in the league.
And he's pitching well.
Well, he hasn't been pitching well until today.
Well,
he retired the first eight guys he faced.
Of course.
And I thought, ugh.
That is really annoying when he kept getting guys out. I was like, really? It's Eric Fetty?
Yeah. He's been terrible all year long.
As a fan, that bothers me more than anything. When a pitcher that you know is not very good, when he ends up being really good against your team, is very annoying.
Yeah. I'd have to ask Dylan Cease about it. I'd have to ask Fermin or whoever about it. But with two outs in the sixth, again, it was Vaughn, the juvenile delinquent. It was at the plate. And it was two strikes. And they show Cease, and he goes, nope. Then they give him another sign. Nope. And then he throws the third one, and it's just raked into the corner for a double. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah.
You should have
Sometimes
taken
you should listen to what
to
they
you.
Told you, but... You know, there's a lot to be said for it because a pitcher needs to feel confident in his pitch.
Yeah, true.
And he felt like he wanted to go slider there. He didn't make a good pitch with it. 1-0 Brewers. All right, still in the sixth inning. The Brewers got another runner on base. I forget who it was. He tries to steal second. Fermin makes the throw. Jake comes over.
Mm-hmm.
It's another play that the analytics don't measure. There's no way the analytics measure this, and that's why the analytics are so mean to Cronenworth.
They don't measure the pick?
I don't know, but he comes and he picks the throw and puts the tag on. They get an out because of a great play that he makes that, again, you know, I'm going to keep pointing it out when Cronenworth keeps doing this stuff because, you know, the whole notion that he can't defend and is, you know, a liability. You know that drives me crazy.
Liability definitely drives you crazy. But for me, he picked it too.
Great play.
All around was a great play.
That's a great play, and I don't know that analytics measure that. I also don't know that they measure this. 0-2 pitch on the outside corner, the line lit up with two strikes after Fetty had retired eight in a row and Merrill homers to tie the game.
Yes.
That's big-time hitting right there. Because it was a pretty good pitch, actually. But that's just big-time hitting to go over the wall and tie the game. And, you know, I don't know that Murphy, their manager, second-guessed himself, but he had a lefty warming up and didn't bring him in.
I know. I don't know why.
So, you know, that was second-guessing for him to do. That's on the Brewers' notes on a scorecard.
What they're doing there right now. What was Pat Murphy thinking?
What was Murphy thinking on that one? Finally, the seventh inning or eighth inning there with Mordejón. Again, two outs, runner at second, and you 1-2 pitch. You got Terang dead to rights, and you throw a hanging curve. And Mordejón knew it. And Terang's too good. He didn't miss it. They take a 2-1 lead. Bottom of the eighth or seventh, it's Bogarts who started that whole rally by beating out a ground ball to third. Another big moment for Bogarts in the game today. He had a ton of them, I thought. And then it all comes down to bases loaded, one out. And Fermin gets called out on a curveball at the bottom of the zone. It lit up. So ABS would have said it was a strike. But if you go back in the game, Dylan Cease threw about six pitches right there earlier in the game that Fermin caught, and they were all called balls. To me, that is horrible umpiring.
It was not good showing for them this week.
You can't do that right then with the game on the line. Go, you know, now's the time I'm going to give that a strike.
Yeah.
He didn't give it all game. And that's why Fermin was mad. And I'm sure that's why Schilt got thrown out.
And I'm sure that's why Fermin didn't swing. He knew it was a ball.
Right. It had been a ball all game. It was a curveball down. He said, that same pitch I've seen all day, be a ball. Anyway, that annoyed me. Because, you know, he strikes out and the rise flies out, and pretty soon I'm writing post-game notes. That's all I got. All right.
Good one.
Thanks. There's my notes on the
score. That was a lot for a
3-1 game. Yeah, that was a lot of goodies today. All right. Scraby takes over with the Chronicles. We keep you up to date on all the baseball scores. A bonus hour till 7 coming up. All right. Bonus hour of sports talk for you. Scraby's Chronicles.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it to the big guy over there in a minute. Chris Ello here, Mr. Scraby. Cubs have come up with 3 in the bottom of the third. They're still batting, leading the Metropolitans 3-0. Reds are down 2-1 in the ninth to the Pirates, and then the Diamondbacks later against the Dodgers. Padres, if you're just tuned in, fell to the Brewers today 3-1. And the Dodgers' magic number for winning the division, clinching the division, is 2. The Cubs' magic number for clinching home field is 3. And, you know, I thought the loss today might have been the final, you know, thing
nail
for the Padres.
The
but there's look, the Cubs can win tonight. The Dodgers win tonight. Then you really can pretty much put it out of your mind.
Yeah.
And maybe in the long run, I was thinking about this, might be better in the sense that then Friday night, you know, you pitch Darvish for whatever you feel like pitching him.
2 innings.
Or 3 or 4, whatever he wants. You do the same with King on Saturday. You do everything with a mind towards the playoffs. Whereas if you're still like tied for the wild card, then you got to play to, you know, more to win the game.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll work out in the long run. We'll all find out. 4-0, Cubs just added another run. Judge is hit number 50 tonight. Schwarber's hit number 55 and 56. And neither of them are the big sluggers of the night. The big slugger of the night, Edmundo Sosa. Yeah, but you better play fantasy to know what team he's on.
Backup. The Phillies.
There you go. Well, you play fantasy. Backup middle infielder for the Phillies. 3 home runs tonight, giving him 4 on the season.
That's a nice night.
That's a big
getting
night.
75% of your home runs in one game.
How about that?
That's a good night in the big leagues.
In the big leagues. Cleveland's added a run 3-1 over Detroit, and the Tiger debacle appears to be continuing.
It does. In the final segment, I wanted to talk about Tarek Skubal and what he did after the game last night, because
I bet he showed some class. Fry, I didn't hear what he did, but
okay,
I know Fry went to the hospital.
Fry went to the hospital. He is okay. He's going to be out for
the rest of
the
season.
He's
not okay. He's got a broken face.
Okay. Well, he's not more seriously injured.
He's got fractured bones in his... You
okay,
know,
so he's not okay.
He's not great.
He's not okay, but
he's alive.
Not, yes, he's alive. That's
about
what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So he's out for the rest of the year.
I'll tell you about that because that's kind of crazy. I can't imagine being Tarek Skubal. Guy, you throw a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, foul tips off of his bat into his face, and then the next pitch was a wild pitch, and Skubal was like visibly shaken by
and
the whole thing.
You know what? I hate to say it, the Detroit manager maybe should have recognized that, because that was a huge game that they
possibly
had to win. And Skubal,
interesting,
you know, threw a couple of wild pitches in that inning after that happened.
It's got to mess with your head.
It's got to, and you're a human being.
Yeah,
right.
Just watch a guy get taken off the field with his face broken,
yeah,
and you were the one who threw the ball.
And you could see the way Skubal reacted when it first happened.
He threw his hat. He couldn't believe what happened because
he
didn't want.
He was
it to
scared
happen.
To death for Fry, and it's understandable.
Did you mention Ramon Laureano in that little open right there?
Not in that one.
Okay.
So let's go ahead and update everybody, because if you're just tuned in, there's more bad news than just the Padres losing today.
Yes, Ramon Laureano exited the game early, and I was hoping at the time, I was like, it's just a precaution thing. They need to get him out of the game.
You had a feeling that was precaution.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Because after the game, Mike Schilts told the media Ramon Laureano has a fractured finger in his right hand, and he will be at least out through the first round of the playoffs.
And that means he's out till the end of next week.
Yeah.
So if the Padres win and he were able to come back, you're looking at him having from now until the second round about 10 days. I don't know how likely that really is.
You got to hope that he has nice bones like Xander Bogaerts because...
Yeah. Bogaerts looked terrific.
He did.
Today.
He said it's still broken, or I heard it was still broken.
Bogaerts looked as good as he ever has at shortstop today. He must have made five, you know, highlight plays today. He beat out a hit. He homered, except for it got pulled back in. Bogaerts looked incredible today.
Xander Bogaerts should have two more home runs because that stupid fan interference that we saw
a month ago. Oh, he got robbed on that one, yeah.
And then today. But here's the question I want to ask, Chris, before we go to break. Was that the last time we saw Dylan Cease pitch in a Padres uniform? Obviously, he's up for free agency after this year. I don't think that he's going to be one of the three starters next week.
He's not going to be.
The only way I see him in a Padres uniform pitching again is coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs, which I don't hate. I think if you put Dylan Cease in there, you need a guy for an inning or two. You got a guy that throws hard and has a nasty slider.
He normally gets through a couple of innings okay.
The first time through the lineup, we're all good.
Here's what I think is going to happen. And I'm hopeful, obviously, by saying this. The Padres are going to beat the Cubs. And then they're going to play the Brewers. And it's going to be a best of five. And I don't know what the off day schedule is.
I can get that for you.
But the first two games will be in Milwaukee. And hopefully, you'll be able to start Pivetta again.
But so you go Tuesday to...
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I don't know. When does the second round start? Saturday? I'm assuming it does.
Let me see. Hold on.
Tell me when the second round is supposed to start.
NLDS Game 1 is Saturday, October 4th.
Well, guess who's going to pitch that game?
Dylan Cease.
Yeah. There's no other way around it.
Let's think.
Well, okay. Look, you're going to have Pivetta on Tuesday.
He's out.
In a perfect world. And then, okay, in a perfect world, you win game two also.
And you don't have to worry about it.
And then whoever is left over between King and Darvish can start in Milwaukee. But assuming that the first round's going to go at least three, isn't Dylan Cease your only option for game one in Milwaukee? Unless... Do you want to ride with Randy Vasquez?
I'm riding with Randy Vasquez.
Randy Vasquez absolutely dominated the Brewers last night. I mean, you could not have dominated them any more than he did.
I mean, the Brewers had a full lineup last night. It's not like they were putting in their backups.
They didn't touch him last night. I don't know, but if that's what it's going to come down to.
Here's the schedule for the NLDS.
Okay. You're going to play Saturday, game one.
Saturday, game one.
In
Monday.
Milwaukee, I'm assuming. Let's just... see it plays out that way.
Yes.
Game two?
Game two is on Monday.
You're sure? There's no
I'm looking at
NL games on the Sunday. So Monday, now by that time, you can bring Pivetta back for game two.
And then Tuesday off day, Wednesday game three.
Wow, you're going to have two off days?
And then Thursday, you play game four.
Right.
You go off day.
Come on.
And then you go Saturday game five.
There's no way.
I'm looking at it right here.
They're going to have three off days in a five-game series.
Yeah, that's the new thing.
Hard to believe.
That's the new thing because they want the arms to be ready so that it's good baseball.
So Pivetta pitches game two. I don't think if you start him Tuesday, he'd have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. No, you can't bring him back for game one on Saturday.
No,
in Milwaukee. So Cease is going to have to pitch the opening game of the second round.
I'm fine with pitching the opening game
unless you want to roll. With Vasquez.
I don't think that they will.
I don't think they trust Vasquez.
I was going to say that.
We've talked about it all year.
What they've told us this year is that he has the shortest leash out of every starting pitcher on that team, and Dylan Cease will throw 100 pitches every single game. If we do see Dylan Cease on game one on that Saturday for the NLDS, if they make it that far, I'm okay with that.
I'll tell you
it's not a deciding game.
I'll tell you what I would do. And I know Mike Schilt will call me on this because we always commiserate on stuff like this, even though he doesn't know who the hell I am. I might consider starting Vasquez in the game one at Milwaukee and having Cease as the piggyback.
Okay, I can do that too.
I mean, give me Vasquez for 2 1/3,
yeah.
Even if you if you really have to get him out.
Cease goes one
Cease,
time through the lineup.
One time through the lineup. Now I'm down to what I'm down to my guys.
And then you go to the bullpen, yeah.
Right.
That's the formula for a game one win.
Here's the funny thing. We're not the only ones thinking about this stuff.
No.
Believe me, Mike Schilt and these guys are all thinking, what are we going to do if we beat the Cubs and have to go three games? Who are we going to start in Milwaukee game one? And they've thought about that.
Oh, they definitely have. If they're not thinking about that, then they're doing
something
wrong.
They're not doing their job.
Because
yeah.
they have to write out all the different scenarios.
Yeah,
you know, Rod says Cease had a grip of Ks today. He had 8.
He looked okay today. I mean,
but he still has so much traffic on the bases.
He had some traffic.
All right. Well. All right. No traffic here. But when we get back, I think we should go through some of the Daily Gambit bets that we made yesterday because there were some good ones out there. Also, at the end, we're going to talk about some of the things the Dodgers have been saying. And the Ryder Cup is coming up. And there's American-on-American violence right now, Chris. Americans are talking trash about other Americans, and I'm not going to stand for it.
In the Ryder Cup world?
Yeah. That's
all. It's this weekend, right?
Starts on Friday.
It's like it's about the second biggest thing on your sports calendar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. So we'll talk about all of that when we get back here on the Skrello Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Reds are still alive, everybody. They were down in the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth inning against the Pirates, 2-1. Tyler Stevenson homers to tie it up 2-2, so they are still alive.
He beat us with a home run a couple of weeks ago.
He did.
Half Suarez.
Yes, he did. I do remember that, Chris.
There you go.
You were saying it could be a three-way tie tonight?
Well, if the Mets are losing 5-0 to the Cubs, Reds are now into extra innings or still batting in the bottom of the ninth. I beg your pardon. 2-2 bottom of the ninth. And then if the Diamondbacks win, yes, it would be then a three-way tie at that point. Right now, the Mets are one game ahead of the Reds and one game ahead of the Diamondbacks. And the Cubs just scored again.
They did.
6-0 Cubs.
I never took off the screen. There we go. YouTube is back there. If you want to watch us, you can search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube and pull us up there. You could also watch on Facebook and Twitter at Matt Scraby.
Can I just say one quick thing before you get to your whatever?
Yeah.
I got a really funny tweet the other night.
Oh, yeah?
And I like when you guys actually take something that happened on our show and apply it to a tweet.
Okay.
Like, to me, this is, you know, solid way you do the tweeting. You and I and Tony and we're all down there in the locker room last night, or, you know, Monday night.
Yes,
right?
Monday night.
I don't know what day it is now, so I wouldn't know then.
I woke up thinking it was Thursday again.
So Monday night, we're all down there. We're doing our post game. We're taking pictures. We're shooting videos. Tony's doing interviews. Champagne's going on. And I got a tweet from somebody, and I wish I didn't remember who it was. And they said, "Hey, Chris, were you wearing your Dolphins jersey?" I just thought that was funny. That's a great tweet because that's paying attention to what we've been doing on the show already.
Yes, and that is hilarious.
Yeah, very good.
If Chris walked down in a Dolphins jersey, I would have taken a picture of it. I would have.
So
well,
that was
like champagne is flying around because Dolphins jerseys never have champagne on them.
And if you're like listening and what is that? Why is that funny? Because these guys are giving me a hard time for wearing my Dolphin jersey to the Charger game the other day.
Yes, and it wasn't a Jalen Waddle jersey. It was a Ryan Tannehill jersey.
Ryan Tannehill jersey. Yes,
I need to make 17. A commercial break out of the drunk Broncos fan because we have a gondola story commercial break for the YouTube, but
My life is interesting. I mean, it really is. You got the gondola lady. You got the drunk Bronco fan.
Yeah.
Stuff happening in my life.
You're kind of like me, like just a magnet for weird. All the time. Happy Hour, which is this show, the post-game show, is brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball season is in full swing, and so is swim season. Call GL Pools and mention radio for a free month of pool service. You know, I said we were going to do the Daily Gambit, but I at this point, with the time and everything, we made some bets last night. We'll review them tomorrow.
We can do them tomorrow. We're keeping everybody on the scores tonight. Yankees are 6 outs away from beating the White Sox, up 5-1. Toronto's losing 7-1 in the bottom of the ninth to Boston. So it's looking like you're going to have a tie for the AL East lead by the end of the night. Cleveland and Detroit, 3-1 Guardians, and they have runners on in the bottom of the seventh. They look like they're about to go into first place ahead of the Tigers. We gave you the National League race right now. 6-0 Cubs over the Mets and Reds, Pirates, 2-2 into extra innings.
See, this is where I love the part of the baseball season.
I love this stuff. I love scoreboarding.
Well, scoreboard watching is amazing. But like some of these games that we always say maybe like game 12 when they lose on a stupid play, we're like, well, that's going to cost them at the end of the year. And then you start thinking about these games.
The one game.
If they would have won that one more, they're in the playoffs.
You can't do that, but
you can't.
You do.
Yeah, exactly.
The way I look at it in that regard is that there's probably a couple games you won that you didn't really maybe deserve to win.
True.
That tend to even it out. But we never think back on those games. We only think about the heartbreak losses.
No, once the win happens, we all move on happy.
Yeah, right.
If there's a loss, we can't move on until we get another win. It's crazy.
There's other fun stuff at the end of the season that I like. We talked about Judge got number 50 tonight. Nico Hoerner, the Cubs. Just grounded out. So he's 1-for-2 tonight. But he came into the game hitting .302. Why is that important? Trey Turner is pretty much done for the regular season at .305. So Nico Hoerner is trying to steal the batting title at the very end.
At .300?
The lowest batting average ever to win
Gwynn.
The National League is Tony Gwynn in 1988. 313, that record is going to fall. Tony will no longer have to have that record, which is probably the one record he had that he wasn't all too proud of.
I don't know. Can't you kind of like like that your name's in the record book all over the place, well, no matter what?
When you've won, what, 8 batting titles, you know, you're going to have one with a low average.
Yeah, I think it's okay.
It's okay.
I think it's okay.
Yeah. By the way, Horner and Turner, they're the only two players in the entire National League this year that are going to hit 300. Third place in the NL batting race at the moment, Alec Burleson of the Cardinals, 294. Who would have ever imagined that one?
Not me.
Not you.
Going back to the Reds and the Pirates, Paul Skenes made his last start of the season.
Oh,
so
boy.
His ERA was lowered to 1.97, which would be the first sub-2 ERA for a starting pitcher since 2022 when Justin Verlander did it. But Skenes also became the fourth pitcher in the live ball era to record an ERA that low in his 23 age season or younger, joining Dwight Gooden, Vida Blue, and Dean Chance.
Chance was a pretty good hurler for the old Angels in the 60s.
So Paul Skenes, you know, he won the Rookie of the Year for the National League last year. We all have major issues with it. We will always have major issues with it, but at least
I have less issues
he
now.
He has staying power.
I have less issues now that he's gone forward and he's done what he's done because he is pretty much historic. And I don't think Jackson Merrill has to take any kind of backseat here in terms of, like, Jackson Merrill will never take away what a season he had, but he lost the Rookie of the Year to just a guy who's incredible. And that's, you know, more how I'm looking at it now. I wish Jackson would have won it. You know that.
Yeah, of course.
But Skenes last year ended up with a balloon ERA of 2.03.
Man, this year, can you do that?
This year he's down to 1.96.
I mean, that's back-to-back incredible seasons.
He won the Cy Young. Or no, he was third in the Cy Young balloting last year.
You give him the Cy Young this year, even though he's on a losing team?
I think they've already given it to him. I don't think there's even anyone in the running.
Poor Christopher Sanchez. I don't know what he's been doing in the last couple
weeks. Sanchez has been good. Peralta for the Brewers.
Yeah.
Obviously,
Nick Pavetta.
I get it.
He's not going to win it, but put him in the running.
11-3 with a 1.96 and no, he's going to get it.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry to say.
It's all right. We will go to break. And when we get back, Chris, I'm going to tell you about this Ryder Cup beef that is happening. I'm going to tell you what happened with Tarek Skubal after the game last night.
Can we just hear one thing about how a mess the Dodgers are, too?
Oh,
just for fun?
Right now?
No, in that last segment.
Oh, I have two things that the Dodgers
Potpourri.
Have. Yeah, I have two things that the Dodgers are complaining about right now, and I feel like bringing it up. So we will when we get back here on the Skrello Show, 97.3 The Fan.
Ben and Woods on The Fan.
Polly, don't ruin this for us.
Did you like Sex and the City? Because I really did.
It wasn't
bad.
I didn't hate it.
I learned a lot.
Who was your favorite of the girls?
You know who my favorite was.
Back here on the Skrello Show, 97.3 The Fan. Padres lose to the Brewers today, 3-1. They have an off day tomorrow. Good news, though, Chris, with the Laureano bad news that he broke his finger and he's out for the first round of the playoffs, is that Fernando Tatis Jr. is feeling better from his illness. So he will be back with the team, hopefully, on Friday.
The other bit of good news, by the way, that we haven't talked about tonight, the Cubs rookie star, Cade Horton,
yes.
Pitcher.
Yes.
He left the game yesterday after 3 innings and 29 pitches. They said precaution, but you know what that means. Sometimes guys don't come back from precaution.
Yeah.
I don't wish an injury on anyone, but if Cade Horton couldn't pitch against the Padres next week, that would not hurt my feelings at all. This guy has a 1.63 ERA at Wrigley Field this year. He's been unhittable. So
I wouldn't wish for anything either. But I won't be mad at it.
That's right.
If nature takes its course, you know, then I won't be mad at
you know,
it.
If Cade has to miss the game,
all
tough
good.
Break. Yeah.
All good with me.
Me too.
Mets are on the board. 6-2 now, top of the fifth inning in Chicago. The Reds, Pirates scored a run in the top of the 10th inning to make it 3-2, but the Reds have tied it right back up. See if they can do some sort of walk-off thing. If they do, we'll tell you about it. But let's get to some of our stories. We'll talk about the Dodgers in 1 second, and then by the end of the show, I'm going to tell you about this Ryder Cup drama.
Okay.
But we want to start with Tarek Skubal, because I want to start with a good story, because this is a good guy, it seems like. So we said last night, David Fry, he's going to need 6 to 8 weeks to recover after taking a foul-tipped 99-mile-an-hour fastball to the face. But
he squared around a bunt, if you didn't see it.
Yeah, and it fouled
off.
And
the ball was riding right in on him,
yeah.
And he tipped it right into...
I'm pretty sure the bat barely touched it, so it was all fastball.
Right. If the bat, if it didn't touch it, it would have hit his face anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I know. But Tarek Skubal was clearly at all pitches after that, but he was so concerned that he actually asked Guardians manager Stephen Vogt if he could get a ride to the hospital so he can go check on David Fry. So that's what he did. He went to the hospital and he checked on David Fry. Tarek Skubal did, got a ride with the manager of the Guardians. And
the manager of the Guardians actually
Stephen Vogt drove him to the hospital.
Okay. Not his own manager, but the Cleveland manager.
Yeah, the Cleveland manager did. And apparently some of the other teammates went and visited David Fry in the hospital. But this tells me what kind of guy Tarek Skubal is, and it's a good guy. Anybody who's going to go make the effort to go to the hospital is a good guy.
Class move by Tarek Skubal.
Especially
since, you know, he went on to lose the game.
Yeah.
And it was
a big game.
A huge game. And he's able to separate that and say, hey, you know, we lost, but there's a lot bigger stuff out there. Aaron Judge just hit number 51.
It seems like his home runs come in bunches.
It seems like tonight everyone is hitting a home run. There's a lot of them happening around the league.
Jackson hit one.
Jackson hit his for the Padres, yeah.
All right, let's go to the Dodgers stuff. So I was looking through news last night after the Dodgers lost. I was kind of giddy a little
bit. Keep in mind they had a 4-0 lead. Otani's pitching shutout again.
Yeah.
They take Otani out, and it's just bullpen disaster.
Just disaster.
3-7. They get runners on in the 9th. Tanner Scott comes in, coughs it up. Again and again and again. Blake Treinen has been getting hammered. Kirby Yates, God love you, but he hasn't been getting in and out, and they just put him on the IL. Kirby Yates, I mean.
Oh, I did not know that.
They just did. Vessi has been had his moments.
Yeah.
And so what are the Dodgers going to do? But before we find out, go to their complaining because they're whining, and I love it.
There's two. Well, Dave Roberts said one thing, and then Andrew Friedman said another. But Dave Roberts, because this has been a theme for the Dodgers this year, is their bullpen losing games for them. Dave Roberts offered an explanation for why they're getting so behind in the counts all the time out of the bullpen. He said, quote, "That's a sign you're either scared or you're pitching too careful,"
okay.
End quote. So when I first read this, I'm thinking, this is Dave Roberts trying to send a shot to his pitchers, like, hey, don't pitch scared.
Right.
Pitch how you pitch. But this is a kind of an alarmist thing if I'm Dave Roberts by saying, saying that you're either pitching scared or you're pitching too careful. That's, you shouldn't have to say that this late in the season.
I'm glad he's saying it because...
Do you disagree with him for saying it?
I don't think so. I think he's just trying to explain it,
okay.
What his take is on why they're struggling so much. They're falling behind everybody. When the Padres were struggling a few weeks ago in pitching, remember they were walking everybody, and they weren't getting behind everybody. So I think he's just saying what you're saying. Now, the scared part is
that's
something.
The word.
That might be something that maybe I take it a certain type of way, but I would hope that if I'm a professional athlete and my manager says something like that, I would understand that he's just trying to win right now and figure it out, and maybe it's something I got to look at. Maybe I just got to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
That's how I would take it, but maybe some guys would be pissed off at him calling them scared.
I don't think they should. They can be because they are pitching terribly, so you got to kind of...
You got to try to figure it out.
You got to
figure
it out.
Here's what I think the Dodgers should do.
Okay.
I think...
Does this have anything to do with Otani? Should I tell the Otani part of it?
Well, you're going to after I say this.
All right.
I think Otani should become the closer. And I don't think it's too late. Otani's been pitching 4 innings, 5 innings, 3, 2. He can give you 1 or even a long 2.
Yeah.
And close a game. I'm not trying to help the Dodger. Don't get me wrong. But if I got to think Dave Roberts is thinking about it. Because he doesn't have anybody who can get the last 3 outs right now. Otani, they don't need him, is a starter.
Yeah.
They would love it, But they got Blake Snell. They got Glasnow. They've got Yamamoto.
Yeah.
They've got plenty of guys to start the game. They don't have anybody to finish it right now. Ohtani struck out Trout to win the World Baseball Classic. I'm sure he knows how to get the final out of a game.
Good point.
I would consider using Ohtani. And apparently, Andrew Friedman has thought about it, or at least been asked about it, because he sees a problem with using Ohtani as a closer.
And here's why. When I read this, I'm like, this is someone feeling a little bit of pressure that their team's not performing up to the standards that they were supposed to perform. But he's upset with the Ohtani rule, which is if you're a starting pitcher and a DH, you could stay in the game as a DH when you're removed as the starting pitcher.
Right.
It does not work the other way around. If you are going into the game to pitch from the bullpen and you were removed after that, you were not allowed to DH. And so Andrew Friedman
said, Ohtani can start the game as a DH.
Yes.
But if they bring him in the ninth inning for the final three outs, and let's say he gives up a run and it's tied up,
they go to the 10th,
then he has to come out of the batting order.
So Andrew Friedman said, quote, "I think they missed the mark with it. I think the rule was put in place to try to encourage people to do it, to incentivize people. So yeah, I think they missed." He said, obviously, and I'm glad that he said this, it's not reasonable for us to ask for that in season. This guy is asking Andrew Friedman, and I know he paid a ton of money to Shohei Ohtani, but he's asking for them to make a rule for one player. Because there's no one like Ohtani right now that's going to come to Major League Baseball.
Well, they made the first rule for one player. The first rule was
Do you think that makes more sense?
I think what they're saying is that once he comes in as a reliever, now you've lost the DH.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really like the fact that he can DH and pitch and come out as a pitcher and stay in as a DH. I don't really care for that in the first place. To me, if you're pitching and you designate the guy as the DH, that's fine. But once you come out, you're out.
Yeah, you're done. That's one of the longest running rules.
If you're second baseman, well, I don't have a good comparison because the DH for every other team is just a hitter. But I just think once you're out of the game, you should be out of the game.
Yeah.
So I think the Dodgers, when he pitches, should just not be able to use him as a DH, or they can only use him while he's still pitching. What they're doing by saying he can't do this out of the bullpen, to me, is very inconsistent because you're letting him stay in the game as a starter, but you're not going to let him stay in as a reliever. Does that mean that if the Dodgers used an opener and Ohtani came in the second inning, he'd have to come out?
That's a good point.
Because he's a reliever?
I think so.
Okay. Well, either way.
That's a really good point, though.
Either way, what I think the Dodgers should do is consider using Ohtani to close their games. And I honestly would use him, you know, he pitched last night, but I'd try to get him in the ninth inning of a game, maybe Saturday or Sunday in Seattle.
And just see what happens. Would,
but that's up to them to do.
They could also get around it if he played in the field. Then he wouldn't have to be removed from the DH. They could put him in the outfield if they needed to. But
you're not playing him there.
So you go from a bullpen, you go from a reliever to the outfield.
Look, if you're going to use him in the bullpen, you're going to use him in the ninth inning, and hopefully for your sake, he's going to close the win out, and you're going to be fine. But anyway, I don't know what the Dodgers are going to do, but they got a major issue. One other quick Dodger note that flashed up here. They just activated Roki Sasaki.
Okay.
Are you going to start counting on him at this point?
Heck no.
Well, they activated him. What are they going to activate him and just sit him on the bench for
No, I know he's probably going to be coming out of the bullpen, and I hope he gets crushed because he didn't choose San Diego.
I know.
He chose L.A. And you know what? It's almost a good thing that the Padres did not have him because he's been out all year with, like, arm soreness. And I don't know
Even when he was in, he wasn't very effective.
Yeah,
honestly.
I don't know how much of that was, hey, he's not ready. We're going to let him take a little bit of a break. But I don't fear Roki Sasaki at the moment. I can change that opinion here in the future. Because
the Dodgers have their issues. The good news for the Padres, the Dodgers are on the complete other side of the draw, no matter what happens.
Yeah, true.
They're going to play the Philly, or they're going to play the Mets, or whoever gets that last spot. And if they win, they're going to play the Phillies.
Yeah.
Padres, if they beat the Cubs, are going to play the Brewers. So we're going to have to worry about any Dodger stuff until way down the road.
We can watch from afar and enjoy their downfall. I'm a mean person sometimes.
I don't. Why wouldn't you root for the Dodgers' downfall? That's okay.
Okay, good.
That comes with being a Padre fan.
Okay.
There's no Yankee fan that doesn't root for the Red Sox to lose.
That's a good
point.
It's
okay.
That's a good point.
You know. And most Dodger fans, by the way, don't root against the Padres. They root against the Giants.
Uh oh, Chris, is he okay? That was funny.
The Dodgers fans root against the Giants because remember, the Dodger fans will tell you that the Padres are not their rival.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
We root against the Dodgers. They don't root against us because we're not important enough for them to root against.
Well,
keep that in mind.
That's
pal.
He says. All right, Ryder Cup.
All right,
Ryder Cup thing.
What's going
on? It's American versus American crime and trash talking right now.
Uh oh.
So they do have live players that are going to be playing. Bryson DeChambeau is going to be a part of the Ryder Cup. And now you can.
He's American or Canadian?
He's American.
He's from. Oh, that's right. It's America versus Europe. So.
Yeah, he's American.
Okay.
So he. And then they're going to be having it in New York at Bethpage Black, which is going to be great because New York golf fans are crazy, and this is the perfect setting for a Ryder Cup to be in. But they are all like Brandel Chambly. I know that name. Okay, so he's a golf channel analyst.
Remember, and I said everybody's hitting a home run tonight. Big Dumper.
Oh, Big Dumper's got 59.
Number 59. That was upper tank, by the way.
That was
way up there.
That's a really nice shot that they just showed up.
Man, did he hit that a long way. I don't know. It'll probably be like 386 feet.
I don't know. I don't get that either.
Yeah.
Because most of the time it seems like it goes longer.
I've watched a lot of games in Seattle. You have. I don't see too many balls go up where he just hit that ball.
No.
So it'll be interesting to see. You know what they say the distance was.
If this guy hits 60 home runs and he doesn't win the MVP as a catcher, then that's crazy.
It's the fourth most in American League history now. The only one to beat him was Judge and Garrett, or Judge and Roger Maris right now.
That's crazy.
He should win Ruth, MVP. He tied Babe. Babe had 60 also. So those three had 60, and now Cal Raleigh 59. Man, was that... Oh.
All right.
What a night. Raleigh 59, Schwarber 55 and 56, Judge 50 and 51. It's been a big night for the home
run
Francisco
guys. Alvarez, I don't know, 18 or 19, who knows.
And Edmundo Sosa, 4.
His 75% of his season
hit
home
number
runs
2, 3, and 4 tonight.
Okay, back to golf real quick.
Yeah, so what happened with the Ryder Cup? It's all coming up this weekend.
Friday.
You mean the American team hasn't settled on what they're doing
no,
yet?
No. That's it. It's more of Brandel Chambly saying that...
Who's Brandel Chambly? He's a commentator,
isn't he?
Yeah,
he's the analyst for the Golf Channel. But he said no one watches Liv, and he's talking about DeChambeau. He doesn't get any attention. So when he does come out, there's a bit of a circus barker element to it to drum up some interest for himself, meaning he likes to make everything about himself. And Brandel Chambly goes on about YouTube and all this other stuff. He's going to be such a difficult person to get paired with. No doubt he's one hell of a golfer. No doubt he's had his moments of generosity with fans. But he's an odd duck, and when he's trying to blend in with the team, and he has so many potential...
So Brandel Chambly. He's ragging on one of our own guys. Trying to say that DeChambeau is going to be hard for somebody on our own team to team up with. He's basically saying DeChambeau is like an arrogant, you know what.
That's basically what he's saying, and okay. He doesn't want it. Here's the
what
last
did DeChambeau
part of this.
Say? Did he have a comment?
No, he was supposed to speak today. I haven't seen the comments on it yet, but this is why the Ryder Cup's great. But Rory McIlroy shot some across the bow, Chris, because he said, quote, "I think the only way DeChambeau gets attention is by mentioning other people. That is basically what I think of that. To get attention, he's going to mention me or Scottie Scheffler or others." So there's many barbs being traded back and forth, and that is why
I said DeChambeau just whacks that McIlroy guy over the head with a 4-iron. McIlroy. Don't be taking shots at my guy, McIlroy.
No, then DeChambeau's
I know you're
going
to stick up for McIlroy because you're not a true American sports fan
But then DeChambeau's out, and I want DeChambeau on my team because he's a great golfer. If
DeChambeau is going to play for our side, so I'm rooting for him. Not rooting for McIlroy.
Of course, that's what
You'll
I'm saying,
root
too.
For McIlroy.
No, I'm saying
yes,
that
you
I'm
will.
Rooting.
You love McIlroy.
No. Oh, I am American through and through, Chris.
I hope so.
I'm American.
Don't be going, you know, don't be start rooting for the Romanian gymnastic team on me now.
Well, no, because our gymnastic team is great, so I can't do
you
that.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. All right, that's it for our post-game show. Roundtable, back at it tomorrow. Chris?
10 a.m. roundtable. I think Tony's going to be on the roundtable tomorrow. So we'll have him.
Show 2 to 4:30.
More home runs. Julio Rodriguez, also upper deck, has 32nd. I don't know. The Rockies put a pitcher out there if they just got a little machine throwing the ball in there. The Mariner guys are hitting them all into the upper deck. Cleveland is one out away from beating Detroit up 5-1. And the Guardians are going to be in first place in a couple of minutes here.
All right. Good night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.